Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
France and Germany get down to business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Jacques Chirac are meeting today outside Berlin. This could be Chirac's last presidential visit to Germany. He only has a couple months left in his term. But this meeting isn't a diplomatic swan song. It's a plain and simple business showdown. And by plain, I mean it's about Airbus. Ethan Lindsay reports from Berlin.
Airbus is basically a company jointly owned by the German and French governments. So when Airbus parent company EADS delayed a major restructuring deal on Tuesday, it was blamed on politics. A German newspaper reported that the initial plan shut down two factories in northern Germany, eliminating close to 4,000 jobs. German economics minister Michael Gloss has threatened to cancel his country's lucrative military jet orders if he faces the majority of the job cuts.
We agree that measures must be taken to regain competitiveness over rival plane makers, but Germany and France must equally share the burden in this restructuring.
By restructuring, he means job cuts, and by rival plane makers, he means U.S.-based Boeing. Airbus says it must cut $2 billion a year to compete with Boeing and make up for the problems it's had with its newest plane. If no deal is reached between Merkel and Chirac, a March 9th earnings report may be the day a new restructuring plan is unveiled. In Berlin, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Worries about oil prices and the housing market are weighing on the Dow. It dropped 52 points yesterday to 12,686, but tech stocks were up again. The Nasdaq put on 6 points to 2524. The S&P 500 lost a point to 1456. Today, oil hit a seven-week high above $61 a barrel. The Academy Awards are Sunday, and here in Tinseltown, they're making the usual preparations. But this year, there's something new, a fleet of electric cars and hybrids. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
When it comes to getting the message out about global warming, Matt Peterson with the environmental group Global Green says Hollywood is the perfect match. The group is lending Oscar stars a fleet of fuel-efficient vehicles as part of its Red Carpet Green Cars campaign. Peterson says the goal is to reach a wider audience.
By working with celebrities, you can break through some of that media clutter and be able to communicate to the American public through how they increasingly get their news, through entertainment-oriented publications and news shows.
But if the sight of Leonardo DiCaprio arriving in an all-electric Tesla Roadster doesn't convince you to shell out $92,000 for one of your own, don't worry. Peterson says there are cheaper ways to be green, things like keeping the tires on that old beater properly inflated. Just don't expect to make it into the pages of the Hollywood gossip mags. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. And by the NASD Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at nasdfoundation.org.
It's fair to say the people who run the Wimbledon tennis tournament are usually behind the times. For almost 100 years, Wimbledon didn't pay the players. Then in 1968, Billie Jean King got paid two-thirds less than men's winner Rod Laver. Yesterday, Wimbledon said it's finally going to pay the women and men the same amount. I asked our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad her thoughts, and I got a surprising answer.
As ardent a feminist as I am, and I'm out there voting for women to do anything they want. They want to box? They should box. They want to be the presidents of universities? Supreme Court justice? Yes, they should be there. But in tennis, the depth of field just is not there for the women yet. Like when Maria Sharapova comes down to play her first round at Wimbledon, she's going to be off that court in 45, 50 minutes. She's barely going to need to take her sweat jacket off. When Rafael Nadal comes down to play his first match, very likely it's going to be a dogfight. First of all, the men play 3 out of 5 sets. They can often go 5 hours, legs trembling by the end, and they got to get up and play another 5-round match perhaps in the second round. So by the end of a fortnight, when that guy raises that Wimbledon plate above his head, he has worked hard. And the women, you know, maybe have had, the champion anyway, has had maybe 1 or 2 times that she's been pressed. So it really isn't equal pay for equal work.
I bet you get a lot of flack for this.
I have. You know, through the years, I've gotten a lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
But I think that the women should play 3 out of 5 at the Grand Slams. You know, make endurance count.
Now, but this is sports, and people don't get paid by the hour.
No, that's true. And when you come down to actual entertainment, I have seen lots of 5-set matches, because the men must play 3 out of 5 at the Grand Slams, that are boring as heck. So if one set's going to be boring and they got to play 3 out of 5, you are not even in the stands by the end of it.
Well, do you think in the end this is about the men's game versus the women's game, and that they're equally entertaining and bringing out the spectators in the same amount?
I do, and I think that the fans realize that the women are just as good at their brand of the game as the men are at their brand. In other words, in basketball, you know, the WNBA is constantly criticized. The women don't play up above the rim. They're slow. They don't look clean. Well, mm-hmm. They're not slow. They're just slow compared to Kobe Bryant. You don't care if the serve's going in 5 miles an hour slower. The point starts when two people are equal across a dramatic situation of a net. It doesn't matter whether they're 10-year-olds or whether they're women or whether they're men. That equal women's match is absolutely as dramatic and as commanding of our attention, and gives us as many thrills as an equal men's match.
All right. Well, maybe we won't get too much hate mail then.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Thanks, Diana.
Thank you.
Diana Nyad is our Business of Sports commentator. Finally this morning, KFC wants to put a fish sandwich on its menu, but it's waiting for approval, not from the FDA or Colonel Sanders, from the Pope. KFC is only offering the sandwich during Lent, and it asked the Vatican for the Pope's blessing. The company also offered the Pope a taste of the fish snacker sandwich on a Friday, of course. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.